Deuteronomy chapter number 4, if you would. I'm going to speak fast, move quickly. You can kind of mark some verses as we go along, some thoughts as we go. You can come back and spend a little time with it. We're going to pick up with a man by the name of Moses. Of course, Moses is the writer of the first five books. And we know him. This is the Pentateuch. The fifth book is Deuteronomy. It means second law. He is about to give the law the second time. In Exodus chapter number 20, he gave it the first time. Now in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, he's going to give it the second time. And he's going to give it the second time because, sad to say, give it to them first time, they didn't do well. But oftentimes, people don't do well the first time, and sometimes God has to come back. And thank God, he's a God of a second chance. He didn't just give it to us once and give us one opportunity. He comes back and gives it to us again. He gave the children of Israel, gave his people the word of God. When he gave it to them the word of God, when Moses came down off the mount, we know what happened. He went back, had to go back up, and he goes back up, and God gives it to him again, and he comes back down in. But the people just didn't take heed to the word of God. God wants to give them another fresh opportunity, so he gives them this book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy simply means second law. So he's about to give them for the second time what we know is the Ten Commandments. Now we know that there's more to the law than the Ten Commandments, but he's about to give them the Ten Commandments the second time. And so as he's about to do that, I have to find the time in which this is translated or transported to us, and that be in the fact that Moses, his time is short on this earth. He has spent 40 years, his first 40 years obviously on this earth at the age of 40. The children of Israel are in need of getting out of their bondage, and he decides that he's going to kill an Egyptian. So he kills an Egyptian. That wasn't the thing to do, and God said, well, you're not ready. And because you're not ready, I'll put you on the backside of the desert and you'll serve there for 40 years. In those 40 years, you might be ready. God has a way of making us ready. To his disciples, he said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. He spent time with them and he discipled them and he taught them. He put Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Why? Because he needed to understand what it was to live on the backside of the desert, because he's going to get to lead God's children. Where? In the wilderness. Don't know what, 40 more years. 40 years, he's now taking them through what he has been through. And by the way, isn't that what a leader does? A leader takes you someplace he's been. Moses took them where he had been. The sad part is they went there because of sin. We're going to find out Moses is about to die. And the reason he's about to die is because of his sin. You know, isn't it amazing? Sin is always punished wherever you find it. God's always punished sin. When Christ became sin, what did God do? God turned his back on him. And he took upon us all sin. Why? Because God always judges sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. No man's excluded from it. Doesn't matter who. You can go through all the scripture. Everybody pays for their sin. So why in the world would anyone think they're excluded? But you ever notice you find people think they are? They think, oh, they're the asterisk at the bottom of the page, real small. Nobody understands it's there. They want grandfathered in, a grandfather clause. That doesn't pertain to me. Oh, yes, it does, friend. Amen. Sin is sin. Wherever it's found, God will judge. All throughout the Bible, you find that case. Moses now has the sentence of death upon him. And the reason is because of obvious. We know what happened in the book of Numbers. God told him to speak unto the rock. He spoke unto the rock. He brought forth water. Later on, we find out that what happened is... I didn't turn this on today. We find out later on that what transpired was God said to Moses, this time I want you to speak to the rock. And Moses decided that maybe they needed to see him overseeing God. And that's a sad or hard place to ever put yourself in. And what he said is, you rebellious people, do I have to do this again? No, you don't. You never did it the first time. But because he lifted himself up in a little bit of pride, what ended up happening? We know what ended up happening. God said, speak to the rock, and he did what? He smote it a second time, and God placed a sentence of death upon Moses' life. Man, he's been in the wilderness a long time. These people he has followed around and have followed him around. I mean, he has watched them die, everybody from 20 years up and older. They're all about dead now. They're all about gone. He's had a young man with him a long time. When he goes up in the mountain, he goes part way with him. When he goes around the corner, he goes part way with him. When he goes to the time of prayer, he goes part way with him. When he stands before God, he has a partner. Who is it? Joshua. And Joshua is going to take over for Moses, but Moses is about to die. And Moses, in Deuteronomy, if you look back, matter of fact, go to Deuteronomy 1, verse 1. Deuteronomy 1, verse 1, we'll start there. It said, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness." You know what? Moses is still in a place he's been for a long time. Children have been there a long time. God's promised them the promised land. Had they just heeded 40 years earlier, they could have went over, but they didn't because they chose not to. God said, okay, 20 years old and older, you'll die in the wilderness. So now what Moses is going to do is, the Bible said, "These words spake Moses unto all Israel on this side Jordan," where? Still in the wilderness, chapter number 2 and verse 1. "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea," chapter number 3, verse 1. "Then we turned and went up the way," chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Now therefore." You know what Moses is doing? Moses is remembering. Moses is sitting with the children of Israel, and he said, "This is what I gave you, and where it was, and this is where we went, and then we went here, and we went here, and we went here." And Moses is about to give, in essence, his last words to the children of Israel. What might be the last words of a man who has a sense of death, who has brought the children of Israel for 40 years through the wilderness, who is now not going to be allowed to go in? The man whom he has trained all this time is going to take them in just a matter of days. He's going to say, "In 3 days, we're going to go in." And Moses is going to give them something. What's he going to do? He's going to give them the law again. He's going to give them the Ten Commandments again, Deuteronomy chapter 5. But I want you to notice something in Deuteronomy 4. Let me read just a couple of verses, and I want you to mark a couple of words as you go down through. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, not unto me, but hearken now, Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments." Look at verse 2. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments." Verse 5. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments." In verse 8, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law?" Let's pray. My Father in heaven, I pray that you'd help us tonight. We come together because of you. We're thankful because of what you did for us. Lord, we just want to be obedient to you. We want to know your word. We want to submit to it and surrender to it. Lord, Moses said to the children of Israel, "I have something to say, but I don't want to be heard anymore. I don't want to be the focus anymore. I don't want you to see me. I don't want you to turn to me. I don't want you to look to me anymore. I want you to turn to the judgments and to the statutes and to the commandments and to the law. I've led you long enough. Now let God lead you." God, so I pray that you'd help us tonight to allow you to lead us as you desire to lead us. I love you tonight. Thank you for these folks. Pray you bless this church. Please a hedge of protection around it. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to go with me now to Psalm 119, if you would, because Deuteronomy 4 made me think of Psalm 119. And the reason that it did in Psalm 119, you're very familiar with the psalm if you've ever studied it much. There are 176 verses, the longest chapter, or longest psalm. The psalms are really not chapters, they're psalms. It's a little different than what you look at as in chapters in other books. I don't like to call them chapters. The 119th psalm. But the 119th psalm has 176 verses that is split up for us. 172 of them have mention of one thing. The judgments, the statute, the law, the commandments, the word. You will find out of those 176, 172 of them make mention of that. And begins in Psalm 119, verse 1. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law." In verse number 2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies." In verse number 3, "They also do iniquity. They walk in his ways." In verse number 4, "Thou commandest us to keep thy precepts." In verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." In verse number 6,
the conclusion. He said, I have respect unto all thy commandments. In verse number 7, the last phrase, when I shall have learned of thy righteous judgments. In verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. Mark the phrase, by taking heed to something. By taking heed to the what? According to verse number 9, according to thy word. Go with me to verse number 25. He said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me. What's the phrase? According to thy word. In verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. In verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. In verse 58, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Verse 65, thou hast dealt with me, thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Verse 76, the last phrase, according to thy word. In 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. In 116, uphold me according unto thy word. Over in Psalm 119, 154 said, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Psalm 119, 170, let my supplication come before thee, deliver me according to thy word. Back to 91, he said, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. In verse 124, he said, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. In 149, he said, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. In 156, he said, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. In 159, he said, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. You know what I found in Psalm 119? And that is that my life is to be in accordance to one thing, the Word of God. And when Moses was about to die, when they had followed him now, at the age of 120, he is giving them the last things that he wants them to remember. And go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. What we find is in Deuteronomy is that Moses says, I want you to focus on one thing. I am leaving, and I'm leaving. I want you to focus on something, and that is the Word of God. You look at its judgments, you look at its statutes, you look at its law, you look at its precepts, but you keep your eyes upon and in the Word of God. How do you and I live? In accordance to the Word of God. I will never go wrong living my life in accordance to the Word of God. It's not accordance to man. It's not accordance to what I think. It's not accordance to what a pastor thinks. It doesn't accordance to what a man thinks. It's accordance to what God has to say. And so Moses says to the children of Israel, I want you to keep your eyes and your life in accordance to the Word of God. And so what he does in chapter number 4, he names statutes, he names judgments. In verse 2, he names commandments. In verse 5, he mentions statutes and judgment. In verse number 8, he says statutes and judgments again. And then he said, continues in verse number 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you where? This day. In other words, here's what you got. You want to know how you live your life? Get in the book. There's no question how anybody ought to live. There's no question whom we ought to follow. There's no question where we ought to be gone. There's no question whether we ought to do it or not do it. All we have to do is get in the Word of God. I have to live my life in accordance to the judgments, in accordance to the statutes, in accordance to the commandments, in accordance to the law. I simply live my life in accordance to the Bible. If we could just live our lives in accordance to the Bible. Now, you remember the one verse back in Psalm 119? I want to draw your attention back to one verse. Psalm 119, verse 9. And I had you mark something in there if you're marking. Psalm 119, 9 says, wherewithal, or how, what he's saying, how can a young man be right? How can a young man be clean and stay clean? How, young person, can you stay clean? Stay in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. Eat the Word of God. Ezekiel talks about how that he had to eat the Word of God. And Isaiah talks about it. Jeremiah talks about it. Why? Because we've got to get in the Word of God. But watch what he says in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Mark, what's the phrase? By taking heed thereof according to the Word of God. Now go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and look at the phrase. Look at verse number 9. In verse number 9, only take heed to thyself. In what now? In accordance to the Word of God. So what now Moses is going to lay out for the children of Israel is he's going to lay out to them how to do this. You see, as I study the Bible, I can find out what to do. But it's not always the what to do that I need to know. It's how to do what I know to do. God tells me what to do. But I'm so thankful that if I study enough, God tells me how to do what I'm supposed to do. God also tells you why to do it. You know, there's so many people that say, well, I just follow a bunch of rules. Don't follow a bunch of rules. Then just get into a proper relationship with God and follow the Word of God and follow what He says, follow how He says it, and follow why He says it. And he tells us all of that. And what Moses is going to do to the children of Israel is he's going to say to them, I'm going to help you now. Take heed to yourself in accordance to the Word of God. Now, Psalm said, in according to the Word of God, in accordance to the Word of God, in accordance to the Word of God. Now, Deuteronomy, what Moses is going to do is he is, in essence, going to lay out to them before he leaves how and some areas to take heed in relation to the Word of God. So if I'm looking at my life and I say, well, I've got this area of my life and this area of my life and I'm compartmentalizing my life and I look at all the different areas, my work and my hobbies and my church and my home and my personal life, and I look at all those things and I say, how does all that fit? How does the Word of God fit in that area? How does the Word of God fit in that area? How does the Word of God fit in that area? By the way, it's not how we fit in. You ought not try to see if you can fit. You ought to just let it fit. You ought to just let it control. It chooses. What is it? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. The Word of God sets what I do in my personal life. The Word of God sets what I do at work. The Word of God sets what I do at home. My Word of God is what's controlling every facet of my life. Now, what are some of those areas of life then that I need to make sure are in accordance to the Word of God? What do I have to take heed in the Bible to? Well, he's going to give us some. Let me give you three areas. Number one, personally. I've got to personally do that. And that's what he's saying in verses 1 and 2. So he talks about them doing it personally. You must take in the Word of God personally. So many people are trying to live a public Christian life, but they've got it backwards. You learn to live privately before you go public. So what he does, he addresses them privately in this passage of Scripture. And then he addresses them parentally. Do you know that God sets out in His Word how to raise children? You know that God has a plan how for your children to serve Him with all their life? How does that happen? Do you ever see two families and all of a sudden one kids go this way and one kids go that way and they both go to the same church and they've both been sitting in the pew and they've both been running around in the same place. They've all heard the same sermons. And you think, what in the world happened? Can I tell you what happened? It's somewhat behind closed doors. Because not everything is what it seems to be. And so many people have learned how to walk what's seen as a good Christian life, but in their personal walk with God, they don't have one. And in a, as a parent, they don't have one. And then there's someone who has to pay the cost. And we know who that is. It's often. So what's he going to do? He talks about how to do it personally. He tells them how to do it parentally. Look at verse number 9. Look at the last phrase. He said in the middle of the verse, he said, lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. Talking about the word of God. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You know what? I'm a grandparent now. I love that verse. You know, I get to teach my children's children now. I get to spoil them and send them home. It's wonderful. It's great. I love it. But I also have a responsibility. I'm not just to give them everything, because I get accused of that. But what I am to do is I'm to make sure that I'm teaching them the Word of God. So many folks, I'm afraid when they get done with parenting, they go, empty nest. Been waiting for a long time. Then the grandkids come along and they come in the house. Guess what, grandparent? The work begins all over again. It becomes not only the parents' responsibility, but the grandparents' responsibility. What does he said? They teach him thy sons and thy sons' sons. So grandpa, you have a responsibility. Grandma, you have a responsibility. You know what your responsibility is? Teach your grandchildren what you taught your children. You say, but man alive, I wish my kids were teaching my grandkids. Well, if they don't, you still can. You say, man, they don't keep them in church. Then you keep them in church. You do have a responsibility. God tells them right here. Moses is saying to the children of Israel, you have a responsibility past your children, and that is to your children's children. So there's a responsibility. So number one, it's personally. Number two, it's parentally. Number three, then it's publicly. In verses 5 through verse number 8 and 5 through 8, he said, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so where? In the land, whether you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. You know what the world needs? The world needs to see somebody live for God. They need to say, hey, there's the Bible and there's a Christian that matches the Bible. There's somebody who walks by the book. Not somebody who just calls out the name and uses the name, goes to church when they want to. That's not what God... God's what God, Moses is saying here. Moses is saying, look, my life's over. I've sinned. I'm not going into the promised land, but I'm going to give you some last words. And here they are. Stay in the book. Live in accordance to the Bible, personally, parentally, and publicly. When you get in the land, which I can't take you, live by the statutes and the judgments and the law and the commandments. Live by them. Why? Because the nations need to see it. The nations need to see it. Who are the nations? Your neighbor. You see, you won't start over there if you won't start at home. You won't reach them if you won't reach them. And if you won't do it yourself and reach your children and your grandchildren, you probably won't reach them. So what he's saying is, take it in home. Take it in personally. You take it in personally. As you take it in personally, then you give it to your kids. Then you give it and make sure you show it to the nations. And so what's he doing? He's telling them how to live. Live by what? Live by the Word of God. Now let's go to verse number 9. I want to show you a few of them. Found, if you would, now in the book of Deuteronomy. Let me give you the first one. The first one is found in verse 9. Only take heed to thyself. And number one, he said, keep thy soul diligently. Keep thy soul diligently. What he's saying here is he's telling them to make sure that they don't forget. Look over in verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves. So what is he doing? What's he doing is he's saying to the children of Israel, I'm going to give you the law. And if you don't stay in the law, what's going to happen is you're going to forget, number one. What happens? What do you forget? Let me give you three things. You forget what God has done. Number two, you forget what God has said. Number three, you forget what God hath given. You know what? God's been awful good to us. But how deep's the valley got to be before you forget? What kind of trial do you have to go in before you're willing to say, wonder where God is? You see, what happens in our life if we get away from the Word of God and don't keep it personally and don't keep it in our homes and we don't keep it publicly and we don't live it the way we're supposed to and we don't take heed to the Word of God like God wants us to, one of the first things that happens is we forget how good God's been. Do you know where you would have been without God? The Bible said he brought us up out of a what? The miry clay. He brought us up out of the pit. You see, he's been good. Don't ever forget it. But you will forget it if you don't stay in his word. The first thing that happens is you forget. If you don't keep your mind in the word of God, other things will take your mind away from the word of God. So the first thing he says is, take heed to thyself, lest thou forget. Look at verse 15. He says, take heed. He said, take ye good, therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no similitude. Verse 16 says, lest ye corrupt yourself and make you a graven image. What is he saying here? He's saying, if you don't stay in the word of God, what will happen is you'll start worshiping someone other than God. You don't stay in the word of God, you'll worship something else. You know what? None of us would sit down in front of a Buddha. We have missionary in India, and I think it's 300,000 gods. You go down through the marketplace and they create them. They look like who knows what. They look like everything. And they sit and worship them. And in my mind, I think, how in the world could anyone do that? But do you ever stop to think what we worship? Do you ever stop to think what sometimes folks start worshiping when they get away from the Word of God? What do they start worshiping? Oh, it's not a statue, but it might be a job. Might be money, might be things, it might be hobbies, and we begin to worship other than God. And what God's saying here is, Moses is saying, look, children of Israel, I'm not going to be here. I don't want you to look to me any longer. You've looked for me for 40 years. And he's now saying primarily to all the younger generation, because the older generation's all died off, he said, you can't, don't look to me for leadership. You need to look to God. And when you look to God and stay in God's word, what will happen is you'll worship God correctly. But if you don't, you'll not worship God correctly. God is a jealous God. Go over to chapter number 4, if you would. Go to chapter number 4 and verse 24. 4 and verse 24. Look at this phrase. It says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Go to chapter number 5 and verse number 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Go to chapter number 6 and verse number 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God. God wants one thing. Worshiped. And if you don't live your life in accordance to the word of God, you'll worship something else or somebody else than himself. So he said, take good heed. I'm leaving, I can't stay. Take good heed to the word of God. Take good heed to the statutes and the judgments and the commandments. Take good heed. Why? You're going to forget. Number two, he said, you're going to corrupt yourself. Number three, go to chapter number 11, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 16. Chapter 11, verse 16, we pick back up on the phrase. And what does it say? Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Deceived. Do you mean flip-flop? I mean back and forth? Go with me to Deuteronomy 27 and 28. What God lays out is very simple. Serve me or either serve me or you're not. Either you're blessed or you're not. Look what God does in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Look in verse number 14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Verse 15. Cursed be the man. 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father. 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. 18. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander. 19. Cursed be he that preventeth judgment. 20. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. 21. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. 22. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister. 23. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. 24. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. But look in verse 28, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. 4. Blessed shall be the fruit. 5. Blessed shall be the basket. 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest. And 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. 8. The Lord shall command the blessing. Choice. Cursing or blessing? Cursing or blessing? It's simply by how your heart is. Don't let your heart deceive you. It's one or the other. Cursing or blessing? Chapter 12, verse 13. Let me give you these last ones and I'm done. 12 and verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. He's talking about here. He's saying, you aren't blessed. You find the place that I've provided for you and stay in your place. You know what? The last thing I want in our church is somebody else's members. I don't want my members going to them, and I don't want their members coming to me. You know why? Because every man's been given a place. And what he's saying is, if you take heed to the word of God, look at verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose. It's God's choice where you put your offerings. It's God's choice where you worship him. You see, if you're here and you're a member of this church, it's because God chose this place for you. And you know what you need to do here? You need to worship here. You need to give your offerings here. You ought to sacrifice here. You ought to be involved here. Why? Because this is the place. God has given you a place. It's in accordance to God's word. There is a place. What did he do with Jacob? You remember when he was with Jacob in Genesis chapter number 28? He was at a place called Bethel. And he said, I didn't realize the Lord's in this place. And he named the place Bethel, house of God.
You want to know where you ought to worship. You know where you ought to be every Sunday. You know where you ought to be every service. You know where you ought to be offering. You know where you ought to be serving. You know where you ought to be giving. You know where you ought to be giving what you're supposed to do to the Lord in the place God's given to you. If you don't stay in the Word of God, you'll find you a wrong place. You'll find a wrong place. Go to chapter 12, verse 30. Or 12, verse 19, there's another one. He said, take heed to thyself that thou forget not the Levite. Who was the Levite? The Levite was God's chosen people for Israel. You know what you need to do? You know what the Word of God will help you do? The Word of God will help you treat properly the man of God. You stay in the Word of God, you have no problem with the man of God. You get out of the Word of God, you have a problem with the man of God. I always found out the people who are at odds with me are at odds with God, and the reason they're at odds with me is because they can see me and can't see God. You know what? They're just angry at God. They take it out on me because they can't see God. So what do? Because they can't see God, they're not right with God, they don't talk with God, they don't worship God, and what happens is they go find him another place, and then they start talking about what? The man of God. May I suggest to you, stay in the Word of God, and you'll treat the man of God the way it's supposed to be treated. That's what he says in verse 19. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Take care of the man of God. Take care of your pastor. You want the blessings? Take care of the pastor. You want the cursing? Don't. You know, you get one or the other. You don't deceive yourself. Well, he's all right. We'll make him be hungry, and then he has to live by faith. He'll live by faith. Don't worry about it. He'll give enough to live by faith. You don't have to keep him hungry. You just need to supply for him. Why? Because that's God's plan. That's what God said. He said, I've set up 12 tribes. He said, 10 of you, all of you are going to tithe. So that's 11 of them tithing. You take 10 out of the 11, you give it to the Levites. So they get the same amount. You have one left over. That takes care of the temple. The Levites then will give. That takes care of the extra things. Everybody gives. The Levite gives. Everybody gives. Pastor gives. Deacons give. Everybody gives. Everybody's under the same commands of God. So we're all to be obedient to God. But what's God doing? Verse 19, take heed to thyself, lest thou forget the Levite, the man of God in your life. Verse 30, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after they have destroyed, they be destroyed from before thee. Now what's he talking about here? He's talking about not being snared in this new land they're going to be. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign and a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof you spake unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou shalt not know, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. But what do you do? Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God. You know what? You don't have to worry about being deceived by false doctrine if you know the Word of God well enough. Stay in the book and Satan won't deceive you with false doctrine. Why are people running to other places? Because they've got to be grounded in the Word of God. Take heed to the Word of God. Chapter 24 and verse 8. Take heed in the plague of leprosy. What's leprosy in the Bible a picture of? You know what he's saying? Don't play with sin. Man, it's heartbreaking to a pastor to sit with a people and all of a sudden they've learned to play with sin. They've said a little sin's okay, white sin's okay, little white lie's not bad, and they get playing with sin for very long. Sin's consequences are greater than you want. And what happens is you didn't take heed to the Word of God and you began to play with sin. You allowed sin in. Don't allow sin in. Chapter 27, verse 9. Moses is giving it to him, isn't he? I mean, he's laying it out. You want to know how? He's covering every area of life. He's caring how they worship, where they worship. He's talking about the people of God. He's talking about the place of God. He's talking about he's covering every area of their life, and it's all covered in the Word of God. And he closes in chapter number 27 and verse 9, the last time. He said, "And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And what will happen? Go over to chapter number 28 and verse 7. The Lord shall. Verse 8, the Lord shall. Verse 9, the Lord shall. Verse 11, and the Lord shall. And verse 12, the Lord shall. And verse 13, and the Lord shall. Take heed of the word of God and enjoy the people of God. No place I'd rather be than with the people of God. What does that cover? That covers hobbies. That covers where I go after church and what I do with my free time. You know what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, look, my time's about done. But I want to help you with something in your life that I have now learned. It's now taken me 120 years. I don't get to go into the promised land. But I can sure help you with something. And let me help you with some things. Let me tell you to take heed lest you forget. Let me take heed lest you worship incorrectly. Let me let you take heed lest your heart be deceived. Let me let you take heed that you serve in the right place. Let me let you take heed that you take heed to the Levites, those whom lead you in worship. Let me take heed lest you be snared. Let me take heed lest you learn the consequences of sin. Let me let you take heed lest you take for granted the people of God. You know what? It's sad, but so many people want to use the people of God to their advantage. Well, I need some work done. I think I'll find somebody in a church. They won't charge me as much. Cost them just as much to live as anybody else. If we're not careful, sometimes we want to use our fellow servants of the Lord. When they're not to be used, they're to be worshiping together with. The people you spend your time with are God's people. But if you don't take heed of the Word of God, you'll misuse the people of God. Let's pray. Now, Father in heaven, thank you for an example for us of the importance of your word in our life. I need to take heed. And I need to take heed and take evaluation, take a good example and a good look at my own life. Let me not look to see how someone else is doing in some area of their life. But Lord, help me to take a good look at how I'm doing in these areas in my own life. Lord, we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. Nor should we evaluate someone else when we ought to really evaluate ourselves. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take heed. And Lord, in accordance to the Word of God, how am I doing? How am I doing with my mind, with my heart, with my place of worship, with my pastor, with God's people? How am I doing? Not in accordance to what I think, but in accordance to your word, your statutes, your judgments, your precepts, your ways, your laws. I pray you'd help me. I pray you'd help each of us.